B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. When you hear Ozzy, RIP, time to talk to Neil Greenberg. Of course, you can read Neil Greenberg's work in the Washington Post. You can give him a follow at N. Greenberg. Neil joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Greenberg, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing super. How are you two doing?
Doing good, brother.
We're good, man. Not in a tent today, so that's different.
Not as hot.
Although it's getting hotter, for sure, in the prison cell. I guess.
Nah, you know. It's getting cooler now. Jeff turned on the heat. I mean, on an air conditioner. it's cooler now.
Greenberg.
Earlier, though. Ooh.
You noticed the same thing I did, that the Commanders kind of announced a number of more benefits to get this stadium deal over the finish line. To me, there's a lot in there, and they're going to work to make sure there's skate parks and public parks and grocery stores, but guaranteeing the cover the cost of overruns, I think, is the biggest deal in this thing by a mile.
Without a doubt. I mean, that is showing that the Commanders want to get this deal done. They're trying to remove as many roadblocks as possible, and I think that that's great. I mean, I think that this is that's a huge move from the organization to make sure, hey, you know, the costs for you are going to be fixed. We know we run into, you know, situations where stuff's more expensive, things go awry, et cetera. We're going to cover all that. We just need you to commit to, you know, what you promised to commit to. I think that should go a long way to the council to get this thing done.
Will it go a long way? Because right now they're running behind because Mendo always feel like he got to do something else.
Well, that's part of this is how the sausage is made, right? I mean, it's a bunch of wheeling and dealings, and the way it's set up is that one person can tank the whole thing in some situations. You know, everyone wants to be the champion of their ward, of their state, of their district. And, you know, they have to run for re-election. And the only way they can run for re-election is if they get results. So I never thought this would be a smooth process. I think the mayor tipped her hand of sorts, you know, showing how important it was to her to get this team back in the district. And I think the council people saw that and they said, okay, well, you know, we have the leverage here and, you know, we're going to make sure that we get the best possible deal, not the quickest possible deal. And I don't think we're at the finish line yet. But again, I think that the organization with the overages is great.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's got the best HVAC products in the DMV. All right, we're going to switch to the actual football. You just retweeted this dude, Matt Waldman, who I'm not familiar with his work, but I totally agree with the sentiment. I believe it was J.J. Watt last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, had this really long rant about how dumb it is. And this goes on the media, frankly, but about how the media keeps, like, track of stats in training camp and just how silly it all is. And I think you agree with it. I want to just kind of let you expand on this.
Yeah, so, you know, social media in particular has allowed the proliferation of a lot of information. And I think we're all guilty of this in terms of we want the pixels, we want the, you know, our job is to get attention for our work. That's for both you and I and the radio station, et cetera. And you know, sometimes that's, you know, coming up with things that are just bite-sized nuggets to put out there and hope people talk about. The thing, though, is with training camp in particular, you know, you have guys running around in shorts. There's no defenders. There's, you know, there's just a lot of practice going on. And what Matt Waldman does, and Matt Waldman is one of the pioneers in fantasy football, you know, coverage and analytics and things of that nature. And he was just talking about, you know, the signal and the noise, like what should you be paying attention to? What can you kind of cast aside as irrelevant? And the quarterback stats were largely irrelevant because, you know, again, it's just practice and Someone had tweeted that Tua has 7 practices and 0 interceptions, and how good he looks in training camp. And my thinking is, well, there's no NFL defense lining up, you know, across from him. Of course, he shouldn't have any interceptions. So it's just that sort of thing, to, especially as we get into the fantasy football aspect of it, and then obviously the games are played for real. You know, Tua, it'd be a lot more concerning if Tua was throwing interceptions, I guess, to, you know, coaches who are out there on the field, as opposed to, you know, not throwing any at all.
I think the chemistry built in training camp is more important than the stats that people did really discuss.
100%.
So it's 100%. Like, it's funny, because, like, I know defensive players and pull up a lot of times and don't really go after the ball, and offensive players, like, after they know they would have been flattened, they run for 50 yards and fans cheer. So the stats would be automatically skewed anyway.
What if the coach says, hey, throw it to 83. I really got to see what he's got.
Yes.
Like, it's
a lot of that. So, like, I used to watch Robert scramble in seven on seven, and the fans would lose their minds. Like, well, you saw that? I'm like, no, I didn't see anything, because he wouldn't run. He's not supposed to run in that drill.
Right, exactly. Context is really important. You know, there's some, like, other stats out there, you know, going around, and a lot of it is you need to know exactly, and I'm talking a real game situation, like, you need to know exactly what the quarterback was told to do, and then kind of get his reasoning of why he did or didn't do it in order to flag it as a certain type of stat, right? Like, we, you know, throwing into tight coverage is certainly something we can measure, but we really can't measure, like, first read. Like, we don't know for certain who the first read for the quarterback was. We think we can, and, you know, maybe we can see, like, his eyes, but, like, we have no idea for certain what the call was, what the coverage was, what the changes were, or anything like that. I mean, so there's just a lot of stuff out there that I think you have to be wary of. I wouldn't call it snake oil type stuff, but there's a lot of things out there that are not that don't really mean anything. And when I say that, it doesn't contribute to winning. It doesn't contribute to a team or a player's talent. Like, it doesn't tell us anything. It's just a number, and we just move on with our lives.
Yeah. Well, I mean, two thoughts to that. One, like, that's part of the reason I have such a hard time using PFF grades as a metric that matters, because they have no idea what the design of the play was. So if you don't know what the design of the play is, how do you grade someone on if they achieved that goal, right? And then it's one thing if you want to, like, present information based on your what you glean from the play, but, like, to something that is so subjective that you don't know what the outcome was supposed to be, and then to assign a grade to it, just it doesn't add up to me. And
then
two, that's what made, when Cooley was doing those film breakdowns after games for so long, what made them so great was he had the playbook and he knew what it was supposed to look like and then what happened. And nobody, like, one, I can't imagine a world where any football team is letting one of their media guys do that anymore.
Well, that team was.
Right. That was a Dan special. But, like, it's so different now. And then, Greenberg, I'm curious where you land on this. I did this interview with these young guys from Norfolk. And I kind of landed in a similar space. I don't know how we got to this, but, like, training camp stats are so dumb. Now, I get it for New York or in Cleveland. If you have these quarterback battles and you want to track exactly how each quarterback is performing, I could kind of wrap my head around that. But I think all the talk around regression with the Commanders and with Jaden Daniels, and surely they can't be that good on fourth down again. Like, nobody says that about Detroit, who goes for it on fourth down all the time. Nobody says that about Philly. And maybe Philly's more unique because of the tush push, but, like, whatever. That's not even where I'm headed. I feel like it started with fantasy and then the incredible growth of fantasy and then best ball and all that. But then really the proliferation of player props has made sports fans so number-driven that the numbers are, like, out of whack important.
Well, I'll even take it a step further. I think a lot of it has to do with the adoption of baseball analytic mindset into other sports. But baseball is different because you have a pitcher versus a hitter. And, you know, the regression around that is much more linear because there's less variables that you're controlling for. When you look at football, you know, you have 12 players on the field, you have a very weird shaped object, you from year to year you have changes on the offensive coordinator, the coach, the offensive line, defense. I mean, like, there's so many different changes that happen as opposed to a ball player who maybe changes his you know, swing incline, his bat speed, pitcher has a new pitch, etc. There's just so many more things that, and every time you add something, it's exponential, right? Like, you change an offensive coordinator and you change two key offensive linemen, that's a huge difference from the year before. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think necessarily you can even compare. And I've said this before on the show, and you have to be very careful with that. And we know stuff regresses. Like, we know third down success rate regresses year over year. However, if you add talent, then your regression won't be as steep and could very well, you know, change stuff. Or you can have just completely bad luck because, again, it's an you know, oblong-shaped object that's bouncing on the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it could go your way. It could not go your way. So I think we have to be very, very careful with, you know, how we say with any sort of certainty that Washington is going to regress or Terry McLaurin is going to have a great season or a mediocre season, because there's just so much that changes year to year, and it's not additive, it's multiplicative, because the changes impact so many other things on the football field.
And more often than not, you're not going against the exact same group.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's the way you look at it. Cause, like, you can go through one group one year, another group another year. You can be as good as you were, but if the numbers don't stand, then people go automatically assume that you went down, not that you played better competition.
Heck, you might not go against the same group from play to play, right? Yeah. Like, you can call the exact same play, and the defense could be completely different.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's just so much that happens on the football field. We have to be careful. These are all educated guesses, but they're educated guesses with these margin of errors that, you know, could sometimes make it inconclusive. And what I say by that is, just for a quick example, like, a team has 30% conversion rate on third down or whatever it is. But what we're really saying is, you know, that 30% could be anywhere from 5 to 50% because of all the different things that can happen. You know, how useful is that number at that point if the error bars make it such a big range of outcomes? You know, how much faith can we really put into it? And, you know, I guess that's my job as an analyst, is to try to sift through that and try to make sense of stuff.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can follow Greenberg at @ngreenberg. And you can listen to his podcast live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on B. Mitch and Finley.
Mm.
I did want to switch this up a little bit and talk a little baseball with the trade deadline looming. What do you think should happen with Mackenzie Gore?
Got to trade him, I think. You have to make a decision as to what your timeline is going to be. Now, I don't know if you can do that with the learners in charge or not, but you have to make a decision what the timeline is, and then you have to start building towards that. If every year is a rebuild, well, then you're not going to make much traction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Nationals have a lot of good batters in place. You know, they had a pretty decent draft. You can find some pitching on the free agent market. I think that you got to use Mackenzie Gore to start the rebuild. I mean, I do think you have to decide to start it because of what you have on the roster now. So I would say absolutely try to move him, get what you can, and then, you know, you're conceding yourself to your hitting core being C.J. Abrams, James Wood, Dylan Cruz, you know, Brady House, like guys like that. And that's what you're building around. But they have to make a decision. They can't just keep being in the rebuilding or quote-unquote retooling phase every year. That's just not going to cut it in the division, let alone in baseball at large.
When you're rebuilding, you have to get to a point where people see an obvious increase or in success. And I don't know if they can keep doing that, if these fans are going to stay around.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think you have to make that decision. I mean, you have James Wood, who's obviously a legit hitter. C.J. Abrams, I would say, as well. Dylan Cruz and Brady Howe. I mean, this is a really young nucleus, and it reminds me a little bit of the nucleus of the Chicago Cubs before they won the World Series. You know, you can build off of that. And then, but like you said, I mean, if you're not winning, it's hard to get people to want to come here without significantly overpaying. They have to absolutely make a decision. I just don't see them spending the money. I mean, you have to spend a ton of money just to compete with the Mets and Phillies and Atlanta in the division. And then you have to also, you know, contend with the Dodgers and the Yankees and whoever else comes out of the AL East. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard to be competitive in this landscape without spending money. I just don't see how a guy like Dylan Cruz helps you going forward as the sole bright spot of the pitching staff. I think you're better off just flipping that for assets and creating a starting rotation on the fly.
Last thing, Greenberg, I know you like the action. This time of year, you're probably watching the ponies in Saratoga or whatever. Like, what are you betting right now? Like, 5-10 baseball bets a night? You go into, like, darts and esports like Jeff is? Like, what's your action right now?
WNBA.
Okay.
I think that that's the softest market right now. I bet some NFL futures, but not a lot because I don't like tying the money up. But WNBA for me is the most fun because I think it really kind of stretches my resources in terms of what stats are available and how I do that. I've been betting that a little bit. I'm really just waiting for football season. That's usually when I bet the most. But I think WNBA, player props in the WNBA, and tennis. I put tennis in there too. I think those are the my best markets right now.
You got a winner for me tonight? Mercury versus the Fever? Liberty versus the Lynx?
Let me find out. If I do, I'll text you.
Okay. When is your like big fantasy preview stuff going to start dropping?
Starts August 12th.
Okay.
I'm actually working on beginner's guide, players you got to get in the draft. If you're lazy and just want to pick up something the night before.
Okay.
So yeah, August 12th is when I start. But in the meantime, if you want to sign up for my pal Scott Allen's Washington Commanders newsletter, you can do that.
Oh yeah, it's a good idea. All right, Greenberg, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for the time.
Love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bro.
All right. We've made it 90 minutes without talking about Terry McLaurin. That streak will now end. Nobody go anywhere.
Hi, everyone. I'm calling on all dads out there to tell you about a big event, and it's the Dad Games, the Olympics for Dads. You can compete for $500 first prize in events like trash can basketball, the Dad Joke Challenge, Wiffle Ball Home Run Derby, and more. And JP and I will be there cheering you on Saturday, August 9th in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. To register, visit dadgames.com. Use code 1067 for 50% off registration. Bring the whole family, and we'll see you there at the Dad Games, the Olympics for Dads.